Father, again, we thank you and we look at the word of God this morning. We declare your word. Hallelujah. You say, he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. And if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. You know, so Lord, we stand in the message of the Lord today, declare the word of the Lord. And we thank you because that word always brings light. Thank you, Jesus. Light into our situations and understanding into our hearts. And so let it be, and let the Lord be glorified, and let the people be edified in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Welcome to the Overcome series. This is day 5. Hallelujah. And through it all, today we're talking about all things working together for your good. That's right. All things will work together for your good. No matter what it is that is going on, all work together for your good. Now, we're going to take our text from Romans chapter 8 and verse 20. I want you to pay attention. I know you have heard this scripture hundreds of times. You yourself have read it. You quoted it hundreds of times. But if you pay attention, because the Lord is going to reveal something to you and all of us this morning. So let's pay attention as we check out the word of God. And you listen and be blessed in Jesus' name. Romans chapter 8. Of course, powerful scriptures and powerful text in this Romans chapter 8. You know, there is one verse there that is the center for today's lesson. And I'll read that one verse first, and then I'll read, you know, some more verses around that to give us some context. Praise the Lord. So let's read just first of all one verse that you all know in Romans chapter 8 and verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Right. So we talked about that yesterday quite a bit. But let me just expand the text. Keep that in your mind. And I want to expand the text and just read from verse 18 all the way to the end. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. So right away we see that he's talking about sufferings, you know, and that's been some of the context of this series. You know, there's sufferings, there's ups and there's downs, you know, that we face, mountains, valleys, all these kind of things. You know, for the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him was subjected the same in hope. Because the creature itself shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? But if we hope for that which we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. Now, likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for. At times, we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is in the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did pre destined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Not the only one, but the firstborn. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? I mean, what things? That's a question. What are the things that we are going through? And what shall we say to those things? Well, if God be for us, who can be against us? And he that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Now, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercessions for us. Now, who or what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? We may be going through tribulation sometimes. What about distress? What about persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long, counted as sheep for the slaughter. Now, all these things together, we say, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded. Are you persuaded? Well, Paul is, or was. He said, I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, what I'm going through now, or even things to come, even what will happen in the future, that I may even not know anything about yet, whether I am up, that's height, whether I am down, that's the valley, nor any other creature, mountains, valleys, creatures, principalities, whatever. I am persuaded that none of these things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So the love of God is like an anchor, and it's steadfast. And these things can move, can shake, but you won't dislodge that anchor. He's got you. He's got you. Praise the Lord. Well, let's talk about all things working together for your good, because that's today's lesson, really. You know, there are a few points that we should notice in that verse 28. First thing he says, all things. Now, please pay attention to that. All things, not individually. See, it's not that, you know, everything, no, but it's all things. So when you take it all together, you know, one bad thing, that may not be good in itself. You know, that's why he didn't say, we know that everything works together for good. No, it's all things taken together. And that's where the angle we are coming to, I mean, from today's lesson. You know, so sometimes some individual bad things may occur and it may not look like there is, I mean, it may look like there is no way that that thing could be good. I mean, there's distress, that tragedy, that trauma, that various things, losses that can even happen at times. Well, that may not be good. And there's no way that you can look at it that it would be good in itself. But he said, all things. And by the time you put it all together, that one and everything else that may happen because of that, and so on and so forth, at the end of it all, and it's together. So there are three things that I want to point out here. Number one, all things, or three elements of this verse. Number one, all things. That means not individually. Number two is taken together, you know. And then number three is for good. Now, for what good? The ultimate good is the eternal purpose of God. That's what he goes on to explain in the next verse. You know, he goes on to, why is he talking about all things working together for good and telling us about things that have been in the mind of God, what God ordained and what he's going to do for the people and so forth and the end game, you know, and all of that, you know. So because the what is going to be for good, the good is the ultimate purpose of God for your life. Hallelujah. As Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. And this is so key to this lesson so that we can have a much better understanding of what this scripture is really telling us. Here's what Jesus said. You know, he said, look, whosoever, you know, I mean, for what doth he profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? You know, so as far as the Lord is concerned, the outcome of your soul is more than even whatever is going on earth at the moment. Because if you gain the whole world, if everything works out in the natural, with our natural eyes, if everything looks good in the natural, but at the end we lose our soul, Jesus says, what shall it profit you then? So the ultimate thing, you know, he said, those who are the called according to his purpose. That's the, you know, five things that I want to call out from this scripture here. You know, all things work together for good. I know, I called that out already. It's all things, not individually. Number two, together. That's taken together. And number three is for good. And I'm going to emphasize, I'm trying to emphasize what that good is. That good is, you can, when you begin to see what he says next, then we'll see what that good is. The good for them who love God and who are the called according to his purpose. So there is his purpose in your life. Now, all the things that befall you will eventually work to bring you to the purpose of God in your life. If you love the Lord, and if you are part of those who were called, the called, I mean, he put the definite article there, those who are the called according to his purpose. Isn't that wonderful? So, and that, what is that purpose? Well, that purpose is, you know, explained in the next verse. What was his purpose? Well, he foreknew you first, and he predestined you that you will be like the Christ. You know, you begin to see his purpose now, you know, and at the end of it all, we find out that those who he foreknew, you know, he also predestinated, and then he also called. And when he called them, he also justified them, you know, through the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, as it is written in Romans 4 and 25, it says, God, Christ was delivered up for our offenses, and he rose again for our justification. So he finished that. Delivered up, they killed him because of our offenses. Well, that was not the end of the story. If he had not been resurrected, we wouldn't have known whether that, you know, ransom actually worked. But it goes on to say in that same Romans 4 and 25 that he rose again for our justification. Now we are justified in the name of the Lord from all things. And then those who justified, he eventually glorified them. Now that's his purpose. Now, all things taken together in your life will work towards that purpose. All right. You know, so, you know, one day when you are sick, that may not look like it's working for your good. You know, someday we have some bad things happen you break a leg, you get in a crash, you lose your job, and all these things taken individually may not look like they are working for your good, but by the time you look at it, the big picture, he needs to get your soul to where he wants it to be. And the purpose of God must come in your life. You know, so when these things are going on, for us, it is hard for us to look at things from God's perspective, but God's able to engineer things. In fact, rather than grumbling, complaining, and so on and so forth, you know, let us have confidence that God is going to bring it all and make it all come to pass according to his purpose. And even physically too, he will eventually make it good. But more importantly, it's a spiritual thing. And the purpose of God, bringing all things to work together for good to them who love God. We've talked about that about 2 or 3 days ago. And who are the called according to his eternal purpose. And that purpose is revealed in the next verse. So there are actually really 7 elements in that small, in those 2 small verses. Verses 28 and 29. So many things packed into those 2 scriptures. You know, so when we look at it today, I want you to look at it in a different light. You know, the things that happen to us naturally, they don't look good, right? You know, because, you know, when you're perfected, when all these things happen and so on and so forth, you know, like Paul said, and we covered this yesterday when we're doing mountains and valleys, you know, all these things may happen. Trouble on every side, distress, you know, and so forth. Sometimes even perplexity. Sometimes we may even experience some despair. Sometimes some persecution. I mean, sometimes we feel like we're cast down. We're all alone. And all these things are going on, you know. But you go forward to always bearing about in the body the dying of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, let's read that again together. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I'm going to read a few verses here. Verse 7 is the one we always quote, but I'm going to read and talk through a couple of verses here today. It's not just verse 7, but let's read verse 7. 2 Corinthians 4 and 7. You know, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Actually, verse 8 is the one I was referring to that we always read, verses 8 and 9. You know, we have this treasure in earthen vessels that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side. That's the one we always refer to. Yet we are not destroyed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Verses 8 and 9 are the ones we always look about, you know, and think about. But what about verses 10 and following? Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus. What has that got to do with when we are troubled on every side? Everything. That the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal body. In our body. So we see that the purpose of God is beyond sometimes what we see. Now, no distress and persecution and torment and affliction of the present time will seem good or joyful, but it is when it is taken together, and the thing that's going to bring it all together is what Jesus did by dying for us on the cross to ensure that we receive his life. That's what it's all about. And if at the end of the day, that is accomplished in our lives, and we make it into glory, receive the life of Jesus Christ, then it's been all worth it. Whatever those things, however those things take you through life in order to get to that point, then it's been all worth it and even more. Now, so those who are the called according to his eternal purpose. I explained that the other day. It's not for everyone, really. You know, and why is it not for everyone? Well, because it's not everyone that is going to experience, you know, this thing here that Jesus spoke about in Mark 8:36. Some people will be pursuing only earthly things and they lose their soul. But the ones who are the called according to his eternal purpose, they will love the Lord. There's something that God has ordained in their lives, and it's going to come to pass that he will bring them through that process. He knew them before the world began. That's what's called foreknowledge, whom he did foreknow. And at the right time, he also called them through the preaching of the gospel. He called them. He chose them. Hallelujah. But he chose them before the world began. Now he called them. And when he called them, they come in. They believe the Lord. They understand the work of grace which Jesus did. So now they are justified in the name of the Lord. You know, and eventually those who justify, he bring upon them the crown of glory. That's right. And we will eventually be lifted from this world, glorified, just like Christ. You know, scripture always talks about, well, you know, like Jesus when he was speaking in John chapter 7, you know, and verse 37, he said, on that day, that last day of the feast, that great day, you know, Jesus stood and cried and said, if any man thirst, let him come unto me. You know, and so forth. And he was talking about, you know, out of the belly of him that believeth on me and so on. You know, he said, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Then in verse, he goes ahead in verse 39 and said, but this is a commentary. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given at that time, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. You know, so the glorification of Jesus was, you know, he had not yet ascended. In fact, he told them, look, it's expedient for you that I go away. Because if I go not, that's his glorification, and then the Holy Spirit cannot come. But when I go, I will send him. Hallelujah. And you know, in Luke chapter 24, after the resurrection, death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, there were two disciples who were told on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus just suddenly appeared and joined himself to them. And he joined the conversation. And they were saying, look, all these things that happened this weekend and so forth. And Jesus said, what things? And he said, are you a newcomer in Jerusalem? Didn't you know all these things? You know, how that this and this. And they began to tell him everything, which he already knew. And then he just pretended like, you know, he didn't know and let them speak. And after they finished saying all those things and, you know, wondering why those things were to happen to Christ and so forth, he said unto them, O fools and slow to understand all that the prophet has spoken. Did you not know that Christ ought to suffer these things in order for him to enter into his glory? So Christ was glorified through all the things he suffered. You know, so that's why, you know, Jesus said, look, no servant is greater than his master. You know, and you can read that in the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. You cannot be better than Christ. Because he said it right here. But perfection is that you'll be just like the Christ. So this whole story about being predestinated to be conformed into the image of the Christ is perfection. And God is good. When he perfects it, he'll be like the Christ. That's what it's all about. And what was it that the Christ did? Well, what was his journey? His journey ended up in being glorified. But how did he get there? Well, Jesus said it himself. Don't you know that Christ must suffer all these things? And therefore, you know, through the suffering of these things, enter into his glory. Let's read that together for us in Luke chapter 24 and verse 25. You know, he said, I mean, they were talking about, you know, how Jesus was killed and some of our disciples, I mean, some of our company went to his grave and didn't find him there, and they were distressed and saying all these things, you know. And Jesus said unto them, O fools and slow of heart, to believe all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? So that was his journey. His journey was through sufferings in order to enter into his glory. You might call it the road to glory. For Christ was through his sufferings. And ladies and gentlemen, there is no way that it can be any different for us. There's just no way. Jesus already said it. His disciple cannot be above the master. Your perfection will be when you are like the master. And we must suffer these things. That's just the way it is. But through all of these things, God is working an eternal weight of glory. Now, the sufferings of this present time, we are told, cannot be compared unto the eternal weight of glory that is coming. But we must suffer these things in order to enter into glory. And the entering in of the glory together with his sufferings is what God means by all things working together for good. That's right. You know, so, you know, sometimes bad things may happen in order for the ultimate good to come to pass. You heard it today. We may experience some bad things now upon the face of the earth. But God is working an eternal weight of glory out for us. That's what it's all about. All the scriptures we have read today, that's what it's pointing to. You know, and that's why when we were reading it yesterday, you know, Peter was saying it in, you know, I think we read it in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10. I said, but the God of all grace has called us unto his eternal glory by Jesus Christ. That's the end game, is what I'm trying to tell you in this lesson today. The end game is the eternal glory, the same which Jesus obtained, but for him to obtain it, he went through sufferings. Jesus said it himself. Don't you understand? In fact, he called them fools for not understanding that. You know, so now Jesus, I mean, God, who the God of all grace, who has called us on, everybody needs to pay attention to this 1 Peter chapter 5 verse 10. Powerful stuff in here. You know, I read it yesterday or the other day, but didn't really get into it because that was reserved for today. Now, the God of all grace, who has called us into his eternal glory, that's the real goal here. That's the real purpose. You know, after that you have suffered a while, you know, you can't do it any other way. It's impossible. There is no way around it. That's how Jesus entered in his own glory. The disciple cannot be above his master. We are going to go through the same things. May not be exactly like Christ. You may not have to be crucified on the cross and do all these things, die and raise the next third day and so on. It may not be all of that, but the pattern of things. Jesus was the pattern of things to follow. Hallelujah. The blueprint. How that through sufferings, he was made perfect and received up into glory. Hallelujah. You know, now, you know, listen to this. Let me finish reading that verse. Holy Spirit said, finish reading. After you have suffered a while, make you perfect. What is that perfection? Well, the servant or disciple is not greater than the master. But when he is perfect, he will be like the master. So this perfect that Peter is talking about here, the same thing that Christ talked about, you know. But in order for you to be perfect like the master, you have to go through some sufferings. But after you have suffered, he will make you perfect. He will establish you. He will say to you, to him be glory. Now, I'm still talking about that glory. Now, that glory is what this is all about. how to enter into that glory. How do we enter into that glory? Well, we must through many sufferings. We must through many situations. You know, I mean, Christ, he went through a lot of things, but we also, I should not say but, and we also will have to go through many things. You know, that's how we are going to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, through much tribulation. That's right. Enter into the kingdom of God. Let's look at Acts chapter 14 and look at Paul exhorting the disciples and so forth. You know, because sometimes people forget that, well, that's the pattern of things. So he's telling them here, you know, he said, look, I'm going to verse 22, but let me see if I can read a little bit of context here. Okay, so let's read from verse 19. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch to Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, listen to this, drew him out of the city, supposing that he had been dead. Now these people came to come against the gospel that Paul was preaching, you know, and then they took him, they stoned him, they did everything to him, they, you know, drew him out of the city and threw him out on the ground because they thought that he was dead. They wanted to kill him because they didn't like his preaching, you know, and so forth, you know. But how be it, when the disciples came around Paul, began to pray over him, Makandori Abashilaba. He rose up, you know, and when he rose up, he just like this man, Paul, he just shake things up, you know, because he said, look, I'm ready to die. You try to kill me or whatever, doesn't matter. Even if you kill me, that's not going to stop me, you know, and then he rose up, you know, and departed the next day after all that stoning and everything. I guarantee you, when they stone you, they will stone you to death. They don't just throw one stone at you and leave you alone. They stoned Stephen to death. In fact, they believe that, you know, they can use stoning to kill people. They told Jesus one time, look, you know, Moses commanded us who found a woman in such situation to stone her to death. What? But what say you? And so they stoned this man almost to death. It was just the grace of God that kept him. It wasn't just one stone they threw at him. But, you know, miraculously, the Lord raised him up. You know, and then they went and preached, you know, he went with Barnabas to this place called Derbe. And he went and preached the gospel in that city. In those days, they preached the gospel to entire cities. And when they had taught many, they returned again to Lystra and to Iconium and to Antioch, you know, confirming the souls of the disciples. Now, listen to this. And exhorting them to continue in faith, and that we must. Listen, this is must. This is not we may. This is not, oh, perhaps we might. No. This is we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. That's the glory, you know, that was to follow, you know. So this is a must. There's no way around it. But the end result is that glory. And all of it, all of the happenings, you know, you say, well, I mean, why would God have to make us suffer through all these things? Just take us into the glory already. Well, because there's a pattern that he took the Son of God through, and you cannot be above the Master. You know, sorry if you think otherwise, but hello, you cannot be above the Master. These things will come. That's why, you know, the Lord will give us, you know, oases through the wilderness. He will give us some times of refreshing. He will give us various things and so forth. But you're going to have to go through these things. You're going to have to climb those mountains. You're going to have to deal with these things that will come. That's just the way it is. Now, everybody's story is different, but the you know, the charter is the same. The charter is that we must, through much tribulation, enter in the kingdom. The charter is that, look, you know, Christ went through sufferings to enter in his glory. And we being not above the master, but to be perfect, we have to be like him. We will also go through these things, you know, and many such scriptures God gives us to explain to us the things that we must go through. And God gave us many stories in the Bible to help us understand this thing. Now, when we are reading those stories, it may not say, oh, this story is so that you can understand that this thing will be like this. You know, this story will just be there, you know, but it's the Holy Spirit that will give us the understanding. You know, so when you're reading some of these stories in the Bible, pause and let it say, Holy Spirit, what is it that, you know, I'm supposed to get out of this story? But these stories are not just stories. They carry a message. Every one of those stories that are in the Bible, even though they may just be historical, you know, record of things that happened, you know, because, I mean, there's different ways you can look at the Bibles. A lot of it is written as history of what happened, just a record of things that happened. Other things are doctrine. But whether it's history or doctrine, you know, it's all written by inspiration of the Holy Ghost for our learning. So the story of Joseph, a lot of it was history. I mean, it's not point blank told us that, okay, you know, when you read these things, learn it for doctrine, learn it for instruction and righteousness, learn it for this and that. It's just put out there. But when you read through it, you begin to see from Genesis chapter 37, clear on through chapter 50. There's only one chapter in there, chapter 38, that skipped the story. But the rest of it, 37 through 50, is all about Joseph and his story and what happened to him, all the things that he went through in order for him to enter into his glory. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, this is the case with us. We must, through much tribulation, enter into the glory. But God has already fixed it and orchestrated it that at the end of it all, we will enter into his glory. You know, that's what it's all about. You know, so Jesus, to make sure that it happened that way, he prayed for us. Or to make sure that it happens that way, he prayed for us. You know, and I'm going to read the prayer of Jesus in a minute. But let's read also Abraham. I mean, the incredible promise that God promised him. After that, Abraham, you know, did not hold back his son Isaac. Then God promised and said, now I know that your heart is towards me. So, and then said, because of this act, surely blessing, I will bless you. And then God began to say incredible things. But let's read it here in Hebrews chapter 6. Let's read the record, you know, how it's recorded. You know, so, I mean, if you want, you know, for more information on that story, you can read the story itself, you know, in the book of Genesis. But we're not going to, can read Genesis chapter 22, but we're not going to read it from Genesis 22 today. We're just going to go to Hebrews chapter 6 and read the summary of that story. Now, in Hebrews chapter 6, let's see how this story is now brought out in a different light. You know, the history itself is all in Genesis 22 and so forth. You can read all of it there. But let's see how it's brought out here in this light. You know, and it says, look, for when God made promise to Abraham, this is Hebrews 6 and verse 13. Because God could swear by no greater, he swore by himself. You know, we're told that, you know, the end of strife is the swearing. And people swear, that's it. They just, and they When do people, how do people normally swear? Well, they swear by somebody, something greater than themselves, you know, and that, you know, they believe that that will convince the other person that they are telling the truth. Well, God also willing to show the immutability of his counsel, you know, and we're looking just like everybody else to swear by somebody greater than themselves. God also looked up and down trying to find somebody greater than himself that he can swear by. You know, because that's what you guys do. Okay, I'll do the same thing. I will find somebody greater than me and I will swear by that person. But he checked it out. There was nobody, glory to God, that was greater than him. So he swore by himself. Hallelujah. So he could not find anybody greater. So he swore by himself. Say to Abraham, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. But look at the commentary here. Verse 15. You know, and so after. Now, it's after. It's always after. After that Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. You know, and because men, because they swore by something greater, you know, God also, you know, swore by, he thought, looked to see something greater, couldn't, swore by himself. But the lesson here is, after he has suffered a while, you know, and in the case of Abraham, it took many years, almost 25 years, to get that promise. And a lot, during that time, a lot of things happened. In fact, different things happened even in his family. His family was almost broken up, you know, all kinds of things, you know, happened to him before he could enter or get that promise. But here's what Jesus, here's a prayer that Jesus prayed for us in John chapter 17. Now, there is amazing revelation in this John chapter 17 of all the prayers of Jesus. And maybe one day I'll come back and do this prayer. I've done it a couple years ago, but I may come back someday because it's powerful stuff. But all I want to do is just read a few things here that Jesus spoke about, you know, in this. He was praying for us before the Father and said, I've given them thy word. You know, the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world, you know. And I pray that they should, you should not take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I'm not of the world. And Jesus is making his case here for us before the Father. The Lord already knows these things. The Father already knows. So he's just making a case. And he says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. And, you know, I'm now in verse 18. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I sent them into the world. See, so it's like, it's a parallel. It's a, Jesus was a prototype. You sent me, I'm sending them. You know? And for their sakes, I sanctify myself. So that they also may be sanctified through the truth. And he said, look, I'm not praying for just these ones. But I'm praying for all those who eventually believe me through their word. So down through the ages, till today, Jesus already prayed for us. And so all these prayer that he prayed here was not just for the disciples, his immediate disciples at the time, but it was for all those who eventually hear about Christ through the preaching of the word. That they all may be one as thou, Father, art in me and I in thee, and that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And listen to verse 22. See, this is the ultimate thing. And glory. Now, we've been talking about all things working together for this glorification. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given unto them. Hallelujah. You know, and he said, look, they may be one, even as we are one. You know, and in them, I in them, thou in me, and that they may be made perfect. That glory and that perfection is what all of the sufferings, is what all the working together is. That is the good of that all working together. That's where it's all headed, you know. And the Lord said, look, I will also that they whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am. He already prayed that prayer, ladies and gentlemen. You know, he wants us to be with him where he is, that they may behold my glory, he said, which thou hast given me even before the world began, which now I'm sharing with them. You know, and this is an amazing thing. Like, Jesus already prayed that prayer. So let's not be thinking in our heart that we're not going to make it. You're going to make it. But the Lord is carving out the path by which you're going to make it through many tribulations, through many afflictions, through many ups and downs, through many sufferings, for whatever reasons best known to him. But that's the way that Christ went through it. And we got to go through it. And when you take it all together, the complete package, all things, not everything, but all things. A big difference between everything and all things. Everything doesn't work together for good. But all things taken together, that's right, will work for your good. And the good is that you will eventually be, you know, shaped, you know, pressed into a more accurate reflection of Christ. That's what those things are doing. Pressing you into a more accurate reflection of Christ. Until finally, you're looking just like the Christ. Because that was what was in his mind from the beginning. Predestined that you should be conformed to the image of the Christ. And that's what, when we finally get there, the Lord finally releases me to do it, we will cover in the Transform and Transfigure series. But you got to understand these things. That to get there, you got to go through these things. This is what Christ, you know. Now, sometimes we forget the eternal picture because we're so consumed with, you know, our daily lives. You got to wake up in the morning. You got to think about going to work. You got to spend 9, 8, 10, 12 hours on the job. And there's things we chase around and so forth. And sometimes we think that's what our life is all about. You know, all these things. You know, God knows that you got to go through his life, but it's preparing you for a more eternal weight of glory. You know, we got to go through these things. We understand that, but that's not our life. The Bible says your life does not consist in the things which you possess. That's why Jesus told them, you know, don't be consumed with these things. Matthew chapter 6. You know, after these things, these are what the Gentiles are seeking after. What shall we eat? What shall we wear? What shall we do? What shall we do? You know, oh, Father, give me this. Father, give me that. This. You know, and Jesus said, look, your Father already knows these things. You know, but we forget. It's just human nature. We forget. We're so consumed. And when you're having problems on your job, that's the only thing that you're thinking about. You're so consumed. When you're having problems with one of your kids, you know, that's, you're so consumed. You know, when your stuff's not going on with some relationship, you're so confused and consumed with it. That's, I mean, oh, when you're believing God for something, you're so consumed and believing God for that thing, and that just consumes us. You know, and let's be careful now. Those things might become idols, you know, if you're not careful. When we are consumed with something, you know, rather than being consumed with the Lord and his purpose, you know, the thing may become a golden calf. You don't want that, you know. So let's just trust the Lord and try to understand these things. I'm trying to break it down in this lesson today for us to understand that, you know, there's an exceeding, far more eternal weight of glory. Now, the purpose and journey of Christ is also described in 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. You know, he said, great is the mystery of godliness. You know, this was his journey, you know, encapsulated in one verse here. And that's, you know, we must go through something similar. You know, and why is it called the mystery of godliness? Well, that's what it's all about. It's either that or the mystery of iniquity. It's one or the other. It's either the tree of life or the tree of the mixture. Tree of life represents the mystery of godliness. The other one is a mixture, represents the mystery of iniquity. And, you know, side by side, the two of them were right there, you know, from the beginning. And it's all going to be like that. Let them both grow together, side by side, you know, but understanding the mystery of godliness. This is how God described it. God, glory to God, you know, was manifest in the flesh. Now, he didn't say the Son of God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. That's why we call him the Son of God. But he was the very God. Now, make no mistake about that. God was manifest in the flesh. Justified. You know, this is the pattern. The whom he did foreknow, them he also did predestinate. And whom he also predestinate, them he also called. Whom he called, them he also justified. Now, Jesus going, you know, the story is the same for Jesus. You know, manifest in the flesh, justified in the singing of angels, preached on to the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and the end of his story, he was received up into glory. That's the end of his story. As we see it on earth, there's a lot more things that, you know, happen on the other side, but as we see it, his human life on earth ended up with him being received up into glory. Now, so likewise, our human life here will end up with us being received into glory. That's it. So all things will work together for that purpose. You know, sometimes, let me throw a bombshell here. Yeah, I may even amaze you. Sometimes God may even allow someone to physically lose their life at one point in their life, so that that eternal purpose may be fulfilled. That's right. The Bible says, look, precious are in the eyes of the Lord, the death of his saints. He may allow, you know, maybe now is the time to take that person or allow that person to be gone, lest they put forth their hand into iniquity later on and lose their soul. So while, you know, God's got them where he wants them, you know, he may allow that to happen because, you know, the physical pain, let me say this to you right now, because this may be so hard and it may look like it's brutal, but I guarantee you, it's the truth of the spirit. The physical pain that you may suffer or someone may suffer because of the loss of somebody is nothing to be compared with the price of that soul. If that will get them to heaven in a state when they were okay to be raised out of that grave, you know, but you know, if the Lord allowed and the things went on later on, maybe they would depart from the faith. We don't know, you know, but I guarantee you all that stuff is to get them out of that grave. Jesus said, I will lose none of them. All that the Father has given me, I will raise them up at the last day. That's what it's all about. That's that glorification. That's how Jesus himself was raised and entered into his glory. And he said, I will lose all that the Father has given me. I will lose none of them. And all that the Father has given me, I have lost none of them. And whatever it takes, I'm getting them out of that grave. Now, some of them may not be dead at the time that he does that, so they will still be alive, and they will, those who are alive will not prevent those who are in the grave. But Jesus said, even when they are in the grave, glory to God, I'm getting them out of there, that they may enter into my glory, that they may see my, and Jesus always loves to share. He doesn't want that glory all by himself and alone. He loves to share, but he's the one that can share. We can take it. No man taketh this glory or honor unto himself. God gives it to us. Isaiah 42 and verse 8 said, look, I'm not going to give it to anyone, but Jesus gave it to us. Jesus earned the right. Hallelujah. Because he lost everything, he earned the right to get it back and give it to whomsoever he will. He said, this commandment I have received of my Father, that in me is, in Father was life, and he gave the life to the Son. And he gave the commandment to the Son to give life to whomsoever he wills, and to give the glory to whomsoever he wills. Jesus earned this by emptying himself. Hallelujah. That's how he earned the right to dish out that glory, which God said, I will give to no man. Hallelujah. But Jesus earned the right. to say, yep, you know, I lost it for this purpose. Now I receive it and I'm going to share it with the sons of the kingdom. Glory to God. That was the purpose of God all along anyway. God wanted to reproduce himself in man. That was his purpose all along. So this purpose is a long story, but it will all work together for that good. And that good is that eternal purpose, which he proposed in himself before the world began. Glory to God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we begin to understand this, we see with a greater, you know, we see from a higher vantage point, begin to understand things at a higher vantage point that, wow, you know, sometimes some things which we may not understand may be working, you know, something else out that I don't understand. You know, so let's have that confidence today that, look, from all the things that we are suffering, I'm going to read to you this last scripture again, and then we're going to close. I read it to you in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. But let me go a little bit further in that Second Corinthians chapter 4. Paul was talking about, you know, all the things they passed through and so on and so forth, you know. And so, but let's read it a little further down and see where he talked about this thing that I'm talking about today. And I'm going to read it from you from verse 15. For all things, yeah, the same thing as all things working together for your good, right? All things are for your sakes. You know, there's a reason why all things are like that. That the abundant grace, might through the thanksgiving of many read down to the glory of God. It's all about the glory of God, which glory Christ also has now shed upon us. For which cause we faint not. Don't be weary in your mind. You're going through stuff. You know, understand and see the bigger picture. That even though your outward man may perish, you know, and things may be happening to you right now, there is something that God is working for you in your inner man. That's worth more than your outer man to God. You know, that may sound callous, but that's the truth. You know, he will preserve your outer man now too, you know, and so forth, but his purpose is beyond just this human flesh. His purpose is way beyond that, you know, and so, don't faint. Realize that the things that your outward man is going through right now may even be perishing, maybe dealing with all kinds of stuff. The inner man, which he is really after, is renewed day by day. For our light, he calls it light. I guarantee you, sometimes it's not light. I mean, we've been talking in this room of a young man who was kidnapped and so forth. That was not a light affliction. You know, during all those days, not a single person slept in that family. You know, and even those who are not their family, didn't sleep either. You know, people are praying all everywhere. You know, so that was not a light affliction. But you know, in the comparison of things, when you put these things on the scale, that's light. If at the end of the day, it brings salvation and it brings someone to the cross and it brings them to glory, that's light. You know, the light affliction, he called it, which is but for a moment. Now, it doesn't look like a moment when you're going through stuff for years. Some people go through stuff for years. It's like this man, you know, that was born blind. 40 years later, you know, Christ met him and said it wasn't his sin, it wasn't his parents' sin, and this and that, you know, but, you know, that the works of God might be made manifest in. Well, didn't seem like for a moment, but when you take it in concept of eternity, 40 years is a moment, you know. Even a day with the Lord is 1,000 years. So if it is 1,000 years, it's one day, then 40 years is like a few seconds, you know. But, you know, that it doesn't seem like that to us, but, you know, we have to elevate, you know, our understanding. You know, this thing, our light affliction, which is for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. That's what the all things working together is all about. For when we look at the things which are seen, you know, my job that's pummeling me right now, the hardship that I'm going through, things that are breaking in my house, you know, and so forth. You know, I ran into a crash the other day. My car is destroyed. Now, all these things, you know, which we see and which we suffer through right now, you know, they are actually not the permanent things. Those things which are seen are the temporal things. But the things which we are not seeing, which sometimes we forget, that's what God is actually working on. And it's the eternal weight of glory. And those are the eternal things. Ladies and gentlemen, that's the lesson about all things working together for your good. And that's why it's not for everybody. No, never for everybody. It's for those who love God and who are the called according to the purpose that God wants to bring those things to work for in their life. And he will do it. Now, if you are a vessel of honor today, for in a great house, the Bible says that there are many vessels. Some of them unto good, some of them unto evil. You know, I mean, it's so many things. But for us, if we are a vessel, excuse me, of honor, then we ought to praise the Lord. If you are a vessel of honor, you ought to praise the Lord. I say that again. If you are a vessel of honor, if you are one of those who are the called, then you ought to praise the Lord. Listen to this. But in a great house, there are many, not only vessels of gold and silver. It's 2 Timothy 2. And verse 20, but there's also wood and earth and some to honor and some to dishonor. Even in my house, we have many vessels. In your house too. You know, there are some everyday run-of-the-mill stuff that's in the kitchen on top of the countertop you don't care too much about. And then there are some precious vessels that are in the china that are reserved for special occasions. It's the same in every house. You know, there are some, you know, things you don't care too much about, and there are some things you cherish, you know. And even if you have some real treasure that's worth many things, you may put them up in a lockbox somewhere, you know. So, in a great house, there are many vessels, some unto honor, some unto dishonor, and so forth, you know. But the goal is that, look, those of us who understand that we are a vessel of honor, we need to walk towards a goal, you know, and part of that is let's cleanse ourselves. Cleanse yourself from all the things that may be from unrighteousness. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 verse 1. Having therefore, beloved, all these precious promises, well, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the mind, spirit, and so forth, perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord. When you do that, well, then you become sanctified and meet for the master's use. And prepared unto every good work. Father, I thank you, Lord, for today's lesson. Glory to God. I pray that you give us an understanding of the far more exceeding weight of glory that the things that we are maybe going through right now are helping us to get to attain that glory. For God knows what he's doing. Pressing us into a more accurate shape. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you. We now understand that Christ entered to his glory through the road of sufferings. And we being his disciples, not greater than the master, but to be perfect, be like him. We understand that sometimes that perfection comes also at the price of sufferings. Sufferings, various things that we may not understand. But today I pray that the Holy Ghost has given us an understanding. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, Father, I pray for strength and grace. Though we have this understanding, yet we need strength to go through. And Jesus said, my grace is sufficient for you. Through the storm, through the crisis, through the hardships, through the whatever, my grace is sufficient. I'll be right there with you, he said, when you pass through. Hallelujah. The fire, it will not kindle upon you. It won't overwhelm you. The floods will not overwhelm you. God will bring you through, but you will have to pass through. God's waiting for you on the mountaintop, and he's going to help you along the way to get there, but you have to climb the mountain. You have to get there. Praise the Lord. Thank you for all these things. We give you, Lord, the glory and the praise. We thank you for the series thus far. Thank you for the enlightenment. Bless everyone, Lord, with grace and strength. Let the hands that hang down be strengthened today to not be in despair just because of the things that are going through, knowing that God is working for us a far more excellent weight of glory. And the light afflictions which you may be going through now, or the afflictions which you may be going through now, are considered light when you weigh them in a balance against the eternal weight of glory. The weight of glory heavier on that side of the balance than these afflictions on this side. Praise the Lord. So thank you, Father. We give you, Lord, the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.